O God, in your mercy and your love, redeem us from our lostness. Restore us from our brokenness. Release us from our bondage and receive us here in your family. Renew us by your word, your spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In my last few years as the pastor of the First Congregational Church in Randolph, I was fortunate to be able to call upon a retired pastor in my congregation to preach in my place on several occasions. Although I was usually away when he offered the sermon, I listened to his recorded sermons later. It was really refreshing for me to hear a different approach, as Reverend David Henkelman usually gave three references as he approached the sermon. First, he would speak about the Old Testament, and then from the New Testament, and then from the Now Testament. You may wonder what I mean by the Now Testament. Well, Dave wanted to talk about current issues. We had so many current issues that sometimes it's difficult to set them aside while we focus on the old and the new stories from the Old and the New Testament. Sometimes it's important to speak about today. I would like to introduce my sermon this morning in the same tone as Dave Henkelman by referring to all three: the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Now Testament. It is my hope that I will be able to weave one particular subject throughout these three sharings, and that is the topic, subject of God's mercy. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mercy is defined as compassionate treatment, especially of those under one's power, as in clemency, a disposition to be kind and forgiving, as in a heart full of mercy, and something for which to be thankful for, like a blessing. Matthew Smaltz writes in his book, Mercy Matters, that at its core, mercy is forgiveness. The Bible speaks of God's love for sinners, that is, God's love for all of us. But the Bible also relates mercy to other qualities beyond love and forgiveness. God's gift of mercy extends beyond forgiveness of sins to reach out to those in need. Mercy is God's loving response to both, and it is also our loving response to others in circumstances of need. Mercy has the unexpected quality in that it is sometimes unforeseen and unmerited. Mercy is a surprise. It can be unanticipated, surprising. It is love that responds to human needs in unexpected ways. From the Old Testament this morning, we will visit the psalmist David. David, as he cries out for mercy in Psalm 51, this is his prayer for cleansing and pardon. David prays this after he's had a visit from the prophet Nathan. Nathan came to David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And not only that, but then he had had her husband killed to cover up their unfaithfulness. David starts, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment upon me. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in my inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Here ends our reading. The psalm provides some tremendous insight into David's sin and David's plea for help as he reaches out for spiritual recovery from his place of arrogance and callousness toward God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my sin, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, he prays. David begins by calling out for mercy. Why? Why? Because he recognizes that God's revealed character is one of love and compassion. From the time of Moses, God has revealed himself as the compassionate and gracious God. Who forgives. David calls upon God, knowing of his merciful character. David knows he doesn't deserve forgiveness. He knows forgiveness is unmerited. So he calls upon God for his mercy, his compassion to remove this sin. He asks for renewal, for purity and pardon. He begs God to blot out his sin, to wipe it away, to remove it, to wash it away, to make his heart clean and pure, and to cleanse him with moral and ritual purity. This is an example of God's mercy to a human being, to a person, to David. And now we move to the New Testament story. In Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35, Jesus gives us an illustration of mercy from person to person in action. We call this reading a parable. It's about a king who forgives the debt of one of his slaves. The slave was not able to pay his debt, and he pleaded for patience on the part of the owner. The servant did not deserve to be forgiven, and he knew it. He could not pay the debt, but the king forgave the debt anyway because he felt compassion for him. And then this particular slave left the king, and he demanded that one of his own fellow slaves be put into prison until he could pay him back the debt that he owed the first slave. The king heard about this, and he summoned the slave, and he said to him, "You wicked slave! I forgave you all of your debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers. He would be punished until he paid back everything he owed. And Jesus concludes this parable by saying, "This is how my Father in heaven will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and your sisters from your heart." Jesus is sending us a message, and it is this, that mercy forgives another person, a person who maybe does not deserve or expect to be forgiven. The worth of God's mercy cannot be measured. But as I studied this subject over the past few weeks, I discovered that there are three general headings under which the benefits of mercy can be captured. God's mercy extends to us, and we extend to one another in times of grievous troubles, in times of grievous sins and in times of grievous need. As Paul will remind us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16, to come before the throne of grace and obtain mercies in our time of need. If we have admitted and confessed and repented or turned around from our sins, we have been forgiven by God. Whether or not we can feel it yet, there is another dimension and evidence that shows that we have been forgiven. And if we have experienced God's forgiveness ourselves, it will be shown through our forgiveness of others. In this parable of the unmerciful servant, Jesus teaches that forgiving others is part of our own forgiveness. In fact, forgiving others can set us free. And now I'll turn to the Now Testament. For some of us, it can be hard to imagine the complete magnitude of God's love for us. It might be hard to imagine that if we have not felt love or given or shared love, it can be difficult to believe that God loves each and every one of us. What do you need from God? What do we need from God? We all need God's affection. We need to know that God loves us. We all need God's tenderness. And we all need God's mercy. I wonder which of the characters in our stories this morning do you relate to? Do you find yourself more like David, who believes that his sins or his separation from God are so drastic that only a plea for God's mercy can set him on the right track, that God can create a clean heart in him? Is it God's forgiveness that you need today? Or maybe you relate more to the story in Matthew, where you were shown mercy, that someone, a human being, has forgiven you. Or perhaps there's someone that you're not able to forgive. Someone in your life that you hold at bay because of something that happened, something someone said, some behavior. Is there someone in your life that needs person-to-person forgiveness from you? My friends, we all have times of need, and we all have times when we can put ourselves in David's shoes, and in times when we can put ourselves in the hands of our merciful family and friends. Perhaps there was a time when you reached out for help yourself, and maybe, just maybe, you didn't think that you were worthy of help. Life, as we know it, can be difficult sometimes when we carry around our needs and our burdens, and for whatever reasons, we can't share them with another person. We know that God will always listen to us, but there are times when what we need to do is we need to have God in human skin. We need to have another person to talk over a situation with, because you know what? We are never meant to walk alone in this life. God has given us God's own companionship and the companionship of one another to walk this road together. There are times when our old ideas about who we are and what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to behave really do us no favor to hang on to. One of the greatest challenges of overcoming any of the old ideas that we might have about how we're supposed to be rugged individuals and how we're supposed to have, you know, handle life on our own. One of the biggest obstacles to that is this thing called rumination. When we run the resentment or the anger or the hurt over and over and over in our minds, and we don't come up With anything new, we just come up with our own rumination. Like the great Albert Einstein once said, he said, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking that we used to create them. Many of our problems magnify when we cannot let them go. Another great quote, I think from Albert Einstein, which I'll do a little editing with, but first I'll read it as it was written. He said, if I had an hour to solve a problem, I'd spend 55 minutes thinking about the problem and 5 minutes thinking about the solution. Now, Einstein believed that the quality of the solution that you generate is in direct proportion to your ability to identify the problem that you hope to solve. Now that may be true in scientific and mathematical situations, but we're not talking about science and math right now. We're talking about God. We're talking about us. We're talking about matters of the spirit. We're talking about matters of our very hearts. We're talking about matters about God. I like to edit that last quote of Einstein's by saying that we can turn to God for that first 55 minutes when we have a problem for which we cannot find a solution all by ourselves. We could spend the first 55 minutes in prayer, talking and listening to God. Spend those last 5 minutes listening to God. God will always have a better path for us. God will always have a better solution for us to any problem that we can face in this life. In conclusion, I would say that God's mercy flows in different directions. God's mercy flows from God to us, to human beings, to God's creation, to God's children. And God's mercy also flows from person to person between us. God's mercy lives in God and in us because God's Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. God's mercy is for everyone, even for you and for me. I'd like to close my sermon this morning with another Psalm of David's, and I'd like to invite you to have a response. After each line that I read, I invite you to say or to hear in your own mind the words, God's mercy is for everyone, even for me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto God, for God is love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of all. To him alone who does surprising and unexpected things in human lives. God's mercy is for you, and God's mercy is for you.